All right. So Keenan sharing with us, can I just pray for you? And yeah, Lord Jesus, thank you for Keenan. Yeah, thank you for this teaching gift that you've laid on his heart, Lord God. And yeah, we just pray, Lord, that as we have open eyes to see you, that we have open hearts to receive what you want to tell us through Keenan today. So we just pray that you bless his lips and that that you speak through him powerfully now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Morning, everyone. Is lekker warm vir oggend, né? Of kom ons sê dis bietjie warmer vir oggend. It's warmer than most mornings this week, so thank you, Lord, for the sunlight and the sunshine. Okay, so as Ray said, we are going to have a little bit of a shorter service this morning. And for the holiday period, just we don't have kids' church at the moment, so the kids are here with us, and if we go too long, then they might get a little bit restless. So for that reason, I'm not going to be too long this morning. And I just felt on my heart this morning to actually just share an encouraging word with us. And the title of my sermon this morning is, God is not going on holiday. God is not going on holiday. And for most of us, this is the middle of the year holiday, school holiday. And I think the school is closed on Friday. So some of you are already on holiday. And so I just want to encourage us that when it is a time of rest, that we actually do find rest. And that we can go on holiday and still come out at the end of 3 weeks and still be tired. And so the issue is not necessarily that we take a break. It's what do we do in the time when we take a break that actually restores energy and excitement for what the Lord wants to do for the rest of the year. And so I'm hoping to share a couple of thoughts this morning just on how do we rest and actually rest in a time of rest. Amen? And if you've been with us long enough, you may have heard us talk about the ABCs. Yes? ABCs? No? So I'm here to remind us this morning. So the ABCs are basically what we believe to be from the Bible and our values as Josh Jen. So the A stands for abiding. Okay, so it's the vertical relationship with the Lord. And then the B stands for belonging. It's the horizontal relationship with one another that the Lord has called us to. And then the C is for contributing. That the Lord has not only called us to come on a Sunday and just sit here and warm a seat and then go, but that the Lord has actually called us to be part of this body to contribute something. That the Bible says that each one of us has a grace gift that God has given us that is to be worked out and actually given for the edification of the body. And that when you are not here on a Sunday, that we actually don't experience the fullness in some sense that the Lord actually has for us. Or that when you don't bring that prophetic word that you feel the Lord laying on your heart in time of worship, that we don't see the full picture of what the Lord actually wants to deposit into us. Does that make sense? Amen. So, what are we going to do in this time of the holiday? So, just a couple of thoughts when it comes to abiding. There's three areas that I believe the Lord wants to remind us of when it comes to abiding, specifically in this time of the holiday. And the first encouragement is that we would get into the Word. John Piper says the following. He says, no Bible, no breakfast. In other words, that if he hasn't read his Bible as the first thing of the day, that he's not allowed to have breakfast. I think that's quite cool, eh? So, gaat ons allemaal honger. Unless we read. And so my encouragement is, start a Bible reading plan. If you're struggling to get into the Word and you don't know where to start, find something that feels completely routine. And sometimes we kick against it because we think that it's unspiritual to have routine. And I believe that the Lord actually, for some of us, in actually getting us to read the Bible, maybe having a Bible reading plan might be helpful for you to actually get into the Word. Instead of saying, I'm just going to wing it, and then never get into the Word. So start a Bible reading plan. Or do a specific study on a book of the Bible. or a topic that the Lord is highlighting to you, you've got the time to do it. So take the time to do it. And then above all, I think it's important that we aim to be obedient to the Word. So don't just aim to read the Bible this holiday, but also be obedient to what it says. And just on there, I think oftentimes we limit our understanding of being obedient to the Word to just what actions should we do. But the Bible does not just instruct us on the actions that we need to do. If it were so, then the Bible would just be a life manual. And I think it's more than just a life manual. It's the living Word of God speaking to us. And so the Bible does not just instruct our actions, but it also instructs our attitudes. And so my encouragement is, don't just look for the Bible says I must do this, so then you go and do it. Yes, do that as well. But also look for, what is the Bible saying about my heart's posture? My attitude towards a fellow believer, a brother or sister, or unbelievers. What are those attitudes that I can actually be obedient to? Amen? That's good. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so if you do not have the word this holiday, then you are walking in darkness in a sense. So let's read our Bibles. Amen? The second thing that I believe we can do during this holiday, and I found in my life and my walk with the Lord that oftentimes the things that we don't enjoy doing are the things that actually lead us into having more of the Lord. And so we love to pray this prayer, Lord, we want to see more of you, we want to have more of you. And the Lord is just like, okay, wake up at 4. It's like, yo, Lord. You can find the Lord any time of the day, but maybe the Lord is specifically speaking to you about waking up early. Rise early in the morning. Jesus rose early in the morning to spend time with the Father. Maybe there's something of a grace that the Lord wants to do in your life through waking up early. But the second thing is not actually waking up early. The second thing that we so love to do or not do is to fast. I know Moro says that every time when he has a holiday, he takes 3 days at the beginning of his holiday to fast. I was so encouraged last week when we had this time of repentance. One of the ladies came to the front and she started with her confession and her repentance with the following. She said, I was spending 3 days in prayer and fasting before the Lord, asking him to reveal my sin to me. Did you guys hear that? That was super encouraging. Who of us are doing that? Like, when last did you fast and ask the Lord to reveal your sin to you? Wow. And I want to encourage us that when we fast, we don't only fast for answers. Some of us have just defaulted to say, okay, I'm going to fast because I need direction in my life, so now I'm going to fast so I can hear God. But we actually fast for hunger. We fast so that we can cultivate a deeper hunger for the Lord. And so if your spiritual appetite for the Lord has disappeared, fast. And come and testify of the excitement and the rekindling of that fire that you maybe have lost, that the Lord will work in us. And here's a nice encouragement from the Bible, Matthew 6, verse 16. It says, if you fast, it says, if you fast, am I wrong? It says, when you fast. So in other words, Jesus is not saying that if one day you decide and you feel comfortable and it suits your understanding of how we do this Christian walk, then you can fast. It says, when you fast. So Jesus is actually anticipating that this is part of us being a Christian and walking with him, is that we regularly fast. Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces with their fasting, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received the reward. But I wanted to highlight that part. It's when we fast. And maybe your breakthrough in the Lord and walking in the more that the Lord has for you is actually in fasting. So I want to encourage you, take 2 days, 3 days, a week, 3 weeks, and fast. Trust the Lord to restore a hunger for him, a desire for him, I've been so challenged this just the past 2 weeks about returning to our first love. That we would return to our first love. We so easily lose perspective and our hearts drift so easily into things that are temporal on this earth that we forget about eternal things. So the way that we can deal with our hearts is to fast. Then the third thing I believe we can do to abide in the Lord and truly find rest is to spend time in prayer. Beloved, we need to get God's perspective on every matter in this life. Pray in the Spirit. The Bible says that the Spirit helps us. In Ephesians 6 verse 18, it says, pray at all times in the Spirit. There is actually no other way to pray. At all times pray in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And I want to encourage, just as Ray said in his finance teaching, let our prayers not just be prayers for provision, but prayers for His perspective and His presence. And this is something that I really find valuable for me, is you'll notice that I haven't included worship here as one of the things that we can actually do. Although we can, but I believe that prayer is actually the same thing. And that when we aim to pray, let us aim to enjoy the Lord through prayer. I think there's something more for us in this area where, I know, you know, when you grow up as a kid, I grew up in church culture. And I was taught that when you pray in Sunday school, they teach you, no, you must ask the Lord, you must pray for your family, and then you ask the Lord to provide for your needs. But not often have we been taught to actually just enjoy the Lord and just tell Him who He is. If that is the only thing you do in your prayer time, then that's a win. Just reflecting on the goodness and the kindness and the mercy and the attributes of God. So let's really enjoy the Lord through prayer. And something that I really felt for us, and I've seen it in my life as well, is how quickly I can lose perspective when I'm not in prayer. And when I'm not specifically praying in the Spirit. And just listen to this. I'm going to read Psalm 73. This, I think we can all relate to this. I think I battle with this. With this aspect, and you'll hear the psalmist, I think I battle with this almost every week. And you know, I know if I battle with this every week, then I know you guys definitely battle with this every week. Just listen to this. Psalm 73. The theme is, God is my strength and portion forever. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Pause. How many of us can relate to that? Ons is Christen, ons dien die Here, maar ons kry swaar, man. Huh? Hoe dan nou, Here? Die mense wat nie die Here dien nie, hulle bly in mansions en hulle ry nice karre. Have we not all come to a place in our hearts where we've said that? Is it just me? Is it just me? Okay, then it's just me. My foul heart. Here's my confession. I think about these things. I compare myself so often. I think, oh Lord, why must we always struggle? And this is when I don't have the Lord's perspective. But He goes on, He says, for they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. Oh, that's a paradox. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore, His people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. It's not fair. All right, those are some of the words that we utter. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. And this is the key verse here of why we need to spend time with the Lord in prayer, in fasting, and in the Word. It says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned the end. In other words, that when we, and here I believe the sanctuary speaks of the presence of the Lord. It's where God dwells. Until we meet with God and hear His voice and see His face, we lose perspective on things in this life. That we will think that, yes, see, the Lord is not fair to those who are righteous because the wicked prosper. Until we go into the sanctuary and we see what really matters in this life, eternal things or temporal things. And he goes on to say, truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment. Swept away utterly by terrors, like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself. You despise them as phantoms of the opera. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast towards you. This is what we become when we lose the perspective and the presence of the Lord as the first thing in our lives. We look at life from the wrong lens. And not all of you are wearing glasses this morning, but all of you have a lens. All of you this morning woke up and you are viewing life through a certain lens. And maybe your lens, like the scripture that Ray read this morning, maybe the light through which you see, your eyes are dark. How great is that darkness? We need the presence of the Lord to rearrange our perspective so that we can see what the most important things really are. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. Let that be the cry of our hearts as we see him. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from him shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. But for me, it is good to be near God. It is the only place where we really see things the way it should be seen. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all your works. Hallelujah. When I am so overcome with comparison to what do people my age have that I do not yet have, I go and read Psalm 73 to remind me of what is really important in this life. Let that be a comfort to you. So that's how we abide in the Lord. Then the second thing is to belong. I believe there's some of us here that needs to hear this. Is that in the holiday time, there's often an opportunity for us to isolate ourselves. And that is the one thing that the enemy would love to do during this holiday time, is to isolate you from fellowship so that you can be tossed to and fro by his tactics. And remember last week, there was a word shared about the enemy is not here to negotiate with us. He's not going to give you 3 weeks off from being a Christian and just let you be. No, we're not gonna worry with Marnus for 3 weeks because he's taking a break. He's taking a holiday. The enemy has a full-time agenda to destroy you. We cannot afford to just let the guard down. And I believe this isolating ourselves is one thing that the enemy has as a tactic to actually keep us from walking in what the Lord has for us. So if you are able to make a conscious effort to spend time with fellow believers during these 3 weeks, we are going to be closing comms for 3 weeks, but that doesn't mean that you don't need to still reach out to one another. Organize pancakes and melkos and braai and game nights and you guys know what you guys do. Have people in your home. If you feel like no one invites you, you know what to do. Just invite someone. Acts 2 verse 46, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Day by day, together, in their homes. food. there's the recipe, so to say. Day by day, together, in their homes, food. You know what to do. Amen. And then lastly, let's contribute into one another's lives. Let's be conscious of who the Holy Spirit is highlighting to us over the holiday time. Make an effort to pray for one another. If the Lord highlights someone, ask Him to reveal something that will be an encouragement to that person. Send someone a voice note or a word of encouragement, a prophetic word. Let's exercise the gifts that the Lord has given to each one of us in encouraging one another. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26 says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." And so even when we meet here on a weekly basis, come to give. I know we say this often, but let's come to really contribute in our times where we can gather like this. When you go to Common on a Wednesday, go to encourage someone. Ask the Lord to reveal something to you that can encourage someone. And even when you don't have a word, just pray a generic prayer for someone that the Lord loves them, that the Lord would show Himself to them, that they would walk in the fullness that He has for them. ABCs. God is not going on holiday. Let us not go on holiday. Let us not take a break from pursuing everything that He has for us. Amen. Let me pray for us, and then I think we can. Lord, I thank You so much that we can rest. I thank You, Lord, that rest is part of Your promise to us as Your people, that it's good for us to rest, Lord. But, Lord, we want to confess that we ultimately find our rest in You, Lord, and that if we do not see You and seek You, God, that we do not actually rest and we do not really recover and we are not really revitalized into walking in everything that You have for us. So, Father, I pray for every single person here this morning, Lord, that our quiet times would be set ablaze, Lord God. That we would come back after 3 weeks, Lord, and say that surely this was the best time that I've had with the Lord in a long time. And Lord, where there's opposition, Lord, in our minds, God, I pray, Lord, that You would silence every accusation of the enemy, God, that wants to kill, steal, and destroy in these 3 weeks, Lord. And that there where the enemy tries to raise up something against us, Lord, that You are the one that fights on our behalf. To keep us in the fold, to keep us faithful to You, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, You are faithful to reveal Jesus to our hearts. Amen.